Today we're going to be in the book of Matthew. So I want you to turn to Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. So make sure that you mark both those places, because we're going to bounce back and forth. Actually, we'll be in Luke first. Luke 12 will be in that first. And, you know, as I'm going through Stewardship Month, obviously, you know, the whole month of November is all about money. It's all about the tithe. It's all about stewardship. Are you trustworthy? And that's what we're spending the whole month of November on. Well, as I'm going through this, obviously, I want to bring different aspects of God's Word and what He says about being a steward, and what He says about those who can be trusted. And also, what He wants to do for you and me. You know, sometimes I think, because I'm so black and white, and listen, I know I'm black and white. I get it. I even had one lady tell me, "Pastor, you're going to kill the church. You'll never grow the church." And I said, "Why?" "Because you're just too black and white. You need to be gray." I'm going to die black and white. I just can't. I can't grab hold of gray, you know. I just can't bring myself to do that. So if I kill the church because of preaching God's word in black and white, then that's what we're going to do. But also, I think sometimes if I'm not careful, you know, I sit back and I really try to reflect on my preaching, and I try to reflect: am I really teaching you guys the full aspect of God? I mean, everything about God, or do I just? Because I can be aggressive, and I know I'm high strung, and I'm aggressive and kind of in your face. If nobody's realized that yet, give it a day or two of just talking to me, and you'll go, "Wow, yeah, really." So I really want you to see that it's not just about you giving God the tithe. Very important. And if you want blessed, it's a huge aspect, as we've seen in Hebrews, where Hebrews says, the author of Hebrews says, listen, you know what? I'm going to show you what you have to do to add to your salvation. Not salvation as in being saved, but salvation as in being blessed. And so today we're going to look at money, but we're going to look at, are you really thankful? Are you really thankful? I entitled today's message, Outlook Determines Outcome. Today's message is entitled Outlook Determines Outcome. And so we're going to start here in Luke chapter 12 verse 13. And I didn't have a frappe this morning, so I'm going to be a little more calm than I was last week. But man, you know, my truck, I was driving past McDonald's, and I had to go like this with the steering wheel on my truck because it kept wanting to fight to turn in there. But I won, so maybe. All right. 12:13, Luke 12:13. It says, and this is the parable of the rich fool. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So he realizes that Jesus is a man of authority, and he's telling Jesus, "Listen, you tell my brother to give me some of that money." We like the money, don't we? I'm amazed when my parents died. When my dad died, everybody else got it, and that was fine. It wasn't mine before he died. I don't need it now. When my mom died, I was the executor of the estate. And so I had to make sure that everything got divided. And here's how I did it. I started out with, okay, guys, because I have two brothers. I said, we're going to go in the house. And if you bought it for mom, take it home. It's yours. And then we just went down the line from there. My mother's wedding rings. I have two girls. My brother has one. I said, you know what? We're not going to divide it. You take it for your daughter. You're the oldest brother anyway. You take it. And we started systematically going through the house. Now, there were some things that I wanted. I'll be honest with you. And they were just trinkety things. My mother was poor. She didn't have much. And so they were trinkety things. But if my brother said they wanted it, okay. And if they couldn't figure it out, guess what we did? The number closest to the number I had got it. We all agreed on this. And what I made sure was I didn't want anything that they wanted. And if I did want it, I didn't voice it. Because when it comes to gaining material things separate people just like that. And this is what you're seeing right here. He says, listen, tell my brother to give me some of that inheritance. Jesus, in 14, answers him. He says, man, who made... I just kind of love this, because can you hear Jesus doing this? Man, who made me boss over you? Who made me judge over you, right? Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? I'm not going to get in the middle of this, but let me tell you something. In 15, he starts. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So the first part of this that I want you to see in Luke is that if you are greedy, you're a grabber, you're not a giver. This is what's happening here. God says, listen, I want you to have things. You notice he had his crops were plentiful, his barns were full, and he said, man, I want to store more. I want to keep more. I want to keep more. I want to keep more. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the old barns. I'll build new barns, and I'll fill them up, but I'm not giving anything away. That's when God got involved. Did you notice that? He had no problem blessing his crops. He had no problem helping him out and filling the barns that he had. But man, when he became so greedy, that all of a sudden he's taking care of himself and he's not taking care of the things toward God. God said, I've had enough. Now your life's going to be required of you. And by the way, once it's required of you, who's going to get your stuff then? Guess what, Bubba? It won't be you. Have you ever noticed that one thing that never... How many have got caught in funeral lines, been in a funeral line, you've sat at red lights waiting on a funeral line, and then you go... Wow, they didn't know many. Or you went, good night, who is that? You know, it's one of those, you've been there? In all those times, how many have ever seen a U-Haul following a hearse? Anybody? No, do you know why? Because everybody's too busy fighting over it. Listen, I've read stories where people have went through homes of their parents or you know, the kids would go into the house of their parents, and they they would take markers and sticky notes and write their name on it and put a sticky on it. That's what they do. And the parents wouldn't even be dead yet. They'd just be in the hospital. Listen, it doesn't matter how much you have. When you die, somebody else gets it. Somebody else will get it. So, you know, possessions are not important. And he says right here in Luke 12:21, you have to get this. He just gives you an example of a fool. And then he says here in 21, so is he, so is the one, so is the person who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, what you have to understand is God gives life and God takes life. And God says, listen, I love you, and I want to take care of you, and I want to bless your socks off. I want you to understand that I don't mind you having possessions. I just don't like it when possessions have you. God wants us to have things. Listen, here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a funnel. He poured in, and we funneled out. He wants to use you to pour blessings through, so that you can give them out and show God. Remember last week we talked about why Abraham tied to Melchizedek? Because he wanted to show that he was living. And if you remember, Melchizedek was the picture of Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Why do we funnel what comes in and we give it out? Why do we do that? We show God is living. We show we trust Him. We show there's a relationship there. It's not religion. Listen, religion won't help you at all. I just want you to know that. But a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the only thing that's going to help you. And when you neglect that relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to fall flat on your face. Anytime we think we can do it on our own, we're going to mess something up. I don't know about you, but I know every time that I leave God at home and I go out and do what I'm going to do, man, I go back home going, oh Lord, I am so sorry. Please come with me next time. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, such a struggle. And God says, listen, I want you to know. You take me everywhere because I want to bless you. Let's look here. Our main text. I want you to see how God feels about finances and how He feels about possessions and how He feels about you being greedy. That's what Luke is all about. You being greedy. But then let's look here in Matthew. Go to Matthew if you will. It's just to the left of Luke. You go Luke, Mark, and then Matthew. And we're going to go Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see a picture of God. I want you to see what God really wants to do for you. It's not just give the church your money. Give God. That's not what this is about. My goal is to grow you as a Christ follower. And if I don't teach the whole Word of God, and I missed this part of it, I've robbed you guys greatly. I've done you a great disservice. Because part of serving God is giving to God. But you give to Him with a cheerful heart. You give to Him because you love Him. If you don't love Him, don't give to Him. If you're greedy, keep your money. Listen, God is my supplier. Okay? I benefit greatly from God because I try to live a life obedient to God. When it comes to a dollar bill, it's just a tool. Man, it comes and it goes. God's going to give me money and I'm going to give it away. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to give me more and I'm going to give it away. And then He's going to give me more and I'm going to give it away. And then when times get hard, He's just going to give it to me. Because He knows I need it. That's what this is all about. Let's look here in 6 chapter 19. The first thing I want you to see, because you know, we're accustomed to dividing life. We divide life into the spiritual and the material, don't we? Well, this is the material over here, and it has nothing to do with my spirituality, and it's all mine. Now, when I go to church, I sing my heart out to Jesus, and I say I love you, and I fellowship with Jesus people. And so, listen, we can keep them separated. And God says, no, you can't, because it's who you are. Either you're all in or you're out. There's no in between. And so let's look here in 19. Because what He's talking about here is having the right attitude toward wealth. And that when you have the right attitude toward wealth, it's a mark of spirituality. It doesn't make you spiritual. It's just a mark, okay? So, and by the way, God wants us to have all things. Because if you look, and don't have to go there, but 1 Timothy 6:17, He says, listen, richly I've given you everything that you can enjoy all things. God says, I want you to enjoy all things. I just don't want things to control you. There's a fine line there. And something, have you ever, I can't even remember who did it that rang a bell and the dog would go, you know, he'd put a steak there. Pavlov, okay. Remember how he'd set the dog up and ring a bell, give him a juicy steak. Ring a bell, give him a juicy steak. Ring a bell, give him a juicy... And then, after a while, by the way, this dog would start salivating all over the place. You guys seen, was it Beethoven? When he shakes his head and that mess goes everywhere? This dog wants a steak. I want to give you a good visual. Come on, guys. And so, then he rings the bell, and there's no steak, but what does the dog do? Goes right in the same mode. That's the way some people are with money. Man, they think of money, they see money, they just immediately, it's like the bell going off. God says, listen, man, you know what? That's you got the wrong idea about money. By the way, if you do that, not salivate, but if you hear money or see a way to make money and all of a sudden your whole body starts getting tingly like you just had a frappe, you might have an issue with money. I'm just saying, it might be your God. It's not wrong to possess things. It's wrong when things possess you. Here in 19 through 24, we're talking about enslavement. Look here in 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I remember when I first moved here, we six and a half years ago now. Yeah, somewhere around six plus years ago. And I remember when we first moved here, somebody came up to me and said, and it was somebody from the church, and said, must be nice to drive a nice new truck like that. And I went, it is. It was 2006 when we moved here. It was a 99 truck with 130,000 miles on it. But guess what? It looked new. Why? Because God takes care of it and so do I. I still have the same truck. Now only it's got 220,000 miles on it. You know, God says, listen, don't lay up. I'm not seeking things of, I don't need a bigger house. I don't need a fancier car. I don't need, listen, I do like nice jewelry though. But I don't go out and buy it. I just take care of what I have. I made a statement a long time ago. This lady and her husband, he had a huge problem with spending money. And I believe they were somewhere around the 30 to 40,000 debt range on their credit cards. And credit cards alone. And so I remember I was preaching on tithing, and it was, I said, listen, it's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. And I'll tell you right now, I like bling. And I do. I like bling. And I thought that I'd fit in real good because, you know, most New Yorkers like bling. They got the gold chains. I thought, yeah, I can wear it and fit right in. Nobody ever... doesn't work that way because none of you guys wear bling. And so, at any rate, I said, you know, it's okay. I like bling, and it's okay to have some bling. And she came up to me the following week. They left the church. Because he said it's okay to have bling. Pastor said it's okay to have bling. He's got bling. I want bling. I go, did you miss the part where I said I paid for everything cash? I waited until I saved up and could pay for it? No, they didn't hear that. They just wanted their bling. So they ended up leaving the church and all mad at me because I like bling. And she said, you shouldn't say that from the pulpit because people were going to listen. Well, then listen to this. I paid cash because I waited until I got my bling. Just saying. Enslavement here. Materialism will enslave the heart. And he says, you know what? If you're investing in things on this earth where rust gets to it, how many have ever seen a car that's lived its whole life in New York? Rust is going to get to it, isn't it? I was watching my brother-in-law sent me a video of this guy in his garage, and he spent $5 million building a garage. $5 million building a garage. Now this garage was only 7,000 square feet, and you go, well, then how did it cost him $5 million? Because it was underground. And it used an elevator. An elevator came up out of the ground, and then you would drive off of that. And it was his driveway. Literally, his driveway would just raise up. Part of his driveway, and then part of it was trees and rocks. And so when he lowered this elevator, which was huge, you could put an RV on it and two Peterbilts. And he said, and it still raises it right up with no problem. But his whole landscape and everything would go up in the air. And so then when he lowered it down, the rocks and trees were all right there. they were all fake, obviously. And so $5 million that he put into his garage, so it was underground. And he had it set up where carbon monoxide would be vented out, fresh air is vented in, totally dry. It looked like a surgical room in there. It was so clean. Motorcycles and cars and RVs. And he just pulls on his elevator and lowers it down and drives in. I think that's excessive. I think it's excessive. I think that would be the epitome of materialism. You know, why didn't he just have a little ramp to drive around and go under his house or something? No, we got to have $5 million. And they called the elevator the, Grandiator or something like that. It was crazy. But listen, materialism will enslave the heart. And if we're not careful, we invest in things that somebody else is going to get anyway. We invest in things that are going to rot and decay, and they're going to go away. And God says, listen, I'm going to tell you what. How many here know Jesus as their Savior? You know without question, I am saved and going to heaven when I die. All right? Now, how much is that worth to you? I mean, seriously, if you really know, you really get it, you really understand, how much is that salvation worth to you? Priceless. You know, Jesus compared it to a man who was looking for a field of diamonds. And when he found his treasure, he went and sold everything that he had so that he could buy that field. Why? Because he knew it was priceless. And he compared the kingdom of God and salvation to that. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you know, remember when I had this long rope and I had a little bit of tape on the end of it? Do you remember that? Your life is this blip. Eternity is forever. You don't die. Do not kid yourself. You one day will shed this flesh, but your soul, your understanding, your heart, your mind, and your heart being your soul, who you are, lives forever. You don't die. You become like a caterpillar. You shed what you have and come into something new. Spiritually speaking, of course. And are you willing to trade eternity for this little moment of something that's just going to rot away anyway? Are you willing to trade your riches on earth for God's riches and His blessing? Because God wants to bless you. Make no mistake about it. God wants to bless you. And I think what happens is we get so caught up in what we can see that we go, oh, you know, I ain't got time for God. I ain't got time for all this spiritual stuff. You know, Pastor, he's just always talking like that spiritual stuff, but he doesn't live in a real world. What, I don't pay New York taxes? Just like you, I got to live here. I got to pay the same bills you have to pay. Maybe not as many because I control my debt. Wait a minute, I have no debt. Amen. Since 1994, my wife and I have been debt-free. Why did we do that? Because God says, oh, no man nothing, because you're a servant to the lender. You're a slave to the one that you owe the money to. Well, I'd take a day off, but man, I got to pay the car payment, and I got to do this, and I got to pay that, and I got to pay. See, you're a slave. Because some of you went, I'm not a slave. Listen, if you can't afford to take a day off and spend it with your family because you got to pay bills, you're a slave. And you're not a slave to God. You're a slave to the debtor. The lender. You owe him. And you know if you don't pay him, then they're going to come and take what you got, right? What if God said, if you don't give me what's mine, I'll take you? We just kind of leave God out of the equation. We become enslaved to material things. Look at New York City. A flood came. What do they have? You know, when I went down there, I was supposed to just deliver gas. I get down there and Pastor Ron goes, John, I really need you to stay. I really, man, you know what? Just can you come over? And I need your truck, man, because we got to haul this stuff over. I'm going, I hate you. All right. We'll go. Right? He talks me into it. Here's 1 a.m. and he won't let me go to sleep until I agree to go. And I'm going, man, all right, look, I'll go. I had appointments. They ended up either canceling or getting moved, and it worked out. God's so good. And I go down there, and he said, listen, we got to start cleaning out basements. And the basement was almost like a crawl space to get down in there. Now, once you were in there, you could stand up straight. The problem is you couldn't stand up straight because the trash was this tall, ceiling's that tall, and so you're like this, digging your way to the floor. It looked like somebody took everything in the basement, and the basement became a huge wash machine. That's what it looked like. And I mean, things were everywhere. And of course, when I went down there was, what, a week and a half after the storm. So the smell. I got a strong stomach, but there were times where I would grab something and move it, and it would stir up the... And I'm going, oh, yeah, here you go. I got to get this thing out of here, right? That's what happens when you keep things. You're not promised to keep them. You don't know what's going to come and wipe it out. And so you spend your investment in what? Things that you throw it out to the curb. Now, here's what they did. We got it all out to the curb. And they came by with a garbage truck. And it went. Dropped it in the back. Dropped it in the back. And drove away. And here this woman is crying because all of her stuff gone. Overnight. Literally. Gone. She's sitting there weeping because now she has nothing. And I'm watching her and Ron's watching her. And we said, man, that's got to be heartbreaking. And then we were, some other volunteers that were there, they didn't even notice it. They're going, got to get things done. So they're walking with their head down. They're just trying to get things done. And one guy's come over, and he goes, dude, she's out there crying. Can you believe that? Let's get this stuff done. I'm going, man, things, guys. Things come, things go. Leave it outside one time in the rain. How many had a bicycle when they were a kid? They left it outside in the rain. And you come back a week later, and the chain is all rusty, and the brakes, you got to squeak the handle to get it. How many remember this? Guys, I'm telling you, this is what God's talking about. Don't invest in all that stuff, man. Invest in what's eternity. Your loved ones going to heaven. You getting the blessings from God because God can trust you. You're a trustworthy steward, and he knows, you know what? Listen, I can trust John because, man, if we give it to John, he's going to give it out. Let's just keep giving it to him. Because it's not mine. My wife used to say, you know what? Your biggest gift is your biggest downfall. And I go, what do you mean? Because my biggest gift is giving. I'm not compassionate. I'm really not. I'm not full of mercy. I'm really not. But man, I like to give things away to people that need it. And my wife would say, man, you'd give everything away. I go, I wouldn't give you away. Today. No, I'm kidding. That's what God says. I want to use you. And he says, you know what? If you have your wrong focus, I can't use you. Then look where he goes from here. By the way, we have to stay properly focused. How many have ever been poked in the eye? Yeah, or maybe you got something that went in your eye and you're going, I can't see. Get it out. You guys know what I'm talking about? And then you look like you're crying and you go to, they say, open it up, and you're going, it won't open. Yeah, how many have been there? All right, that's what this next set of passages is talking about. Are you ready? Not being poked in the eye. I'll bring it around here in a second. Verse 22, Matthew chapter 6, 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will see full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness. How great, and by the way, that's an exclamation point at the end, so he's going, how great is that darkness? I want you to understand, listen, you are blind. You're blind because materialism has poked you in the eye. And you, what you're trying to do, you're trying to go, okay, I love God. Hey, how many know somebody where both their eyes go like that? I'm not even being funny. I mean, I know a guy that does that. And so he'll talk to me like this, because that way he sees me. And I appreciate that, because then I know he's actually looking at me. And I asked him one day, I go, man, how hard is it to focus when you're seeing two different things? Some of you are going, did you really ask that? You guys want to know too. Right? Being all honest, who really wanted to know too? There you go, that's what I'm talking about. And here's what he said. He said, I have to consciously force my energy into one eye so that I can focus on whatever it is I'm looking at. He goes, because if I don't, I find myself fighting whatever's on each side. Now, that's kind of weird to relate to, especially if your eyes are straight. That's what he's talking about here. If you lose focus and you get your eyes on materialism, you got some issues. And what's going to happen is you're going to all of a sudden become split. You're going to become divided. You're going to be divided in heart and mind. And it's not just that way with money. It's that way with anything. Whatever you're focusing on and trying to focus on God, guess what's going to happen? It's only a matter of time. If you don't focus your energy, like he said, I really have to concentrate all of my energy into one eye so I can focus in on it. And if we don't do that, guess what? We will always, always, always walk away from God. Always. Whatever divides our attention, if we're not cautious, God usually loses. And you go, I don't believe that. Yes, you do. Look at your life. What's drawing you away from God? What in times past has drawn you away from God? That's your focus, and that ultimately becomes your God. And he says, listen, I just want you to know that your eye, your focus, he's talking about your focus is what he's talking about. When it's off, you're messed up. But when it's on, I'm glorified. When it's right, you see light. When it's wrong, you see darkness. What are you focused on? What's splitting you? Whatever it is winning. Then we roll in here, verse 24. I'm not even on my notes. I'm just going to forget my notes. Let's go into 24. Verse 24, 6:24. He said, no one can serve two masters. See the focus? Now he's starting to bring you in, isn't he? He makes this blanket statement about the eye and about what you see. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, I'm going to bring it in focus for you. And so he says here, in 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and anything else. Now it says mammon, it's talking about money. But I want you to know, we're talking about materialism today, and that money can be equated into anything else. What is it? What is it dividing you? What are you serving? Because let me tell you something, if you're serving anything other than God, your whole life is going to be out of focus. Your whole life. Your marriage is going to be messed up. Your thinking process is going to be messed up. Your finances are going to be messed up. Everything is going to be messed up. Why? Because you're not focused anymore. God, you have thrown to the side, because what can he do for me anyway? What's all this, God taught, he'll bless you if you tithe, man. I've heard that before, and I tried it one day. What was your investment, a dollar? Did you get a cup of coffee on the way home? You more than doubled your return then. There you go. People go, what do you mean God's going to bless me? God wants me to get, you just want my money. You pastors are all the same. No, we're not. I'm bald. The other one might have hair. We're not the same. But people think like that. It's a craziness. But look what God says. Look what Jesus says here in 25. Therefore, what do you mean therefore? Because of everything I just told you about being out of focus, about serving, trying to serve two masters, all of that. He says, you know what? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Now get this, guys. I want you to see God's love here. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If you look in Luke, we're not going to go there for sake of time, but if you look in Luke, it references a raven. It's very specific. He says, look at the ravens. Well, how many know what a raven is? They're one of the nastiest birds out there, aren't they? I mean, they're just a dirty bird. They're annoying. They eat roadkill. Then they probably want to go home and kiss their wife. And they'll get into trash. They'll get into anything. I mean, listen, ravens are nasty. But not only are they nasty because of what they eat and what they do, they're annoying because they squawk and squeak. There is nothing profitable about a raven. Have you noticed that? I mean, or am I the only one that it annoys? They're in my backyard. You can't feed the other birds. Why? Because these 4-foot winged ravens are swooping down, getting the bread. And I just really want to sit out there with a pellet gun and take care of them. But then I'd have to go down there and clean them up. So I don't want to make more work for myself. Ravens are annoying. And Jesus says, listen, the Father takes care of them, feeds them every day. Do you realize, you know, when people go, hey, I eat like a bird. How many have ever heard that? Okay, don't say that. Because you really don't understand what you're saying. When you say, I eat like a bird, do you realize that a bird eats equal to its weight every day in food? I mean, of course, they do a lot more exercise than we do, too. They're constantly doing this, right? A bird eats equal to its own weight every day. It doesn't store anything up. Listen, even when it has a nest for one reason, and that's to have a little more. Some more ravens that annoy you. I mean, that's all they do. And yet, Jesus says, doesn't my Father take care of them every day? What are you worried about? Do you realize that when you worry, you're not trusting God? Do you realize that? When you worry, you're not trusting God? When you're worrying about something, God, you're telling God, you can't take care of this. I remember when we first moved here. Man, listen, we went through all of our finances. It took every dime we had to get here. I mean, every dime. We went through $60,000 literally in 2 months, just like that, to get out here. When we finally got out here, I had $66 in my bank account. $66. But I had a $1,900 mortgage because I had to pay extreme high rates. It was such a mess. Now, of course, we got all that under control, refinance and all that. But we were paying $1,900 a month for a 1,225 square foot house. Really? Plus, I had a mortgage in Springfield, Missouri. But I didn't have a job. And all of my savings was spent on getting out here so I could come up and preach this message to you 6 years later. And I'm out cutting the grass on a mower that was given to me. We were getting ready to move out here, and a buddy of mine came up, and he was pulling a trailer and had this nice mower on the back. And he goes, hey, man, I want you to see a new mower I got. And I went over, and I looked at it, and I went, dude, that's a nice mower. Where'd you get it? He goes, I picked it up down the road. I go, man, that's a nice mower. So what'd you do? Come over to rub it in? I was just busting his chops because I didn't have one and he knew it. And he goes, no, man. Me and my brother went in halves on it and it's yours. And he unloaded it from the trailer. So I'm out on that mower cutting grass. And my wife comes out. Babe, she calls me babe. It's an endearing term. Babe, we're $1,000 short paying our rent. Honey, have you noticed I'm unemployed? We have no savings. The savings is wiped out. When I tell you I had $66 in the bank, I'm telling you that we cashed in all of our CDs, all the money that I got from the sale of my business. Listen, we went through every dime we had to get out here. When I tell you I had $66 in the bank, I'm telling you it was only $66 in my, that was my whole fortune, fame, everything. I had no more than that, no place to draw from. I'm telling you, $66 is all I had. Are you getting this? And I said, I'm on the mower. And I shut it off. Obviously, I'm being courteous, very courteous to my wife because she called me babe. And I look at her and I go, you're talking to the wrong man. You need to go talk to God. And I started the mower up and went on cutting grass. Left my wife standing in the yard going. 2 days later, we checked the mailbox. There's a check in the mailbox for $1,000. From a man that I talked to one time a year and a half prior. Hey, God laid this on my heart. I heard what you were doing in New York. Thought you could use it. Man, if he would have been there, I'd have kissed him. Praise God for your obedience. God says, what are you worried about? Why are you worrying? If you're worrying, you're not trusting. And if you're trusting, you're not worrying. He says, listen, are you not more? Look here. Look, in 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Understand your value to God is priceless. How priceless is it? He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to purchase you so that you could be with him when you shed this flesh. How valuable are you? Man, you are the most valuable to him because he even sacrificed his own son. How many here would sacrifice their child for me today? You go, yeah, your jokes aren't that good. Think about that. And yet, God said, I'm going to sacrifice my son. He's going to die so you can live. How much more valuable are you? And yet, we don't trust him, and we think, all you want is our money. God, what are you going to do for me? He says, I'm going to supply your every need. Everything you need, I'll give it to you. Let's look here in 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Why are you worrying? It doesn't change a thing. Do you realize 95% of what you worry about never comes to fruition? Anybody ever realize that? You spend all this time worrying, and then it never happens. All the times without sleep, it doesn't happen. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. He says, listen, they don't do anything to earn, but yet they grow. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Are you getting what God wants to do for you? You know, we make a mockery of God. Even Christians do, especially lost people. They make a mockery of God. Well, it's because you don't have any faith. You don't believe. And you go, oh, faith is just that religious mumbo jumbo stuff. That's why you're going to hell and I'm not. That's why you don't have the blessings of God and I do. Because I don't believe it's mumbo jumbo. I can prove it. And you go, prove it to me. Listen, it's one of those deals where if I got to explain it, you'll never understand it. Had a man probably represented it the best. He was standing up and he takes this orange and he peels it. And you can tell it's a juicy orange, you know, because as soon as you break it open, the juice comes up. You know what I'm talking about? Like a sun-kissed, you know, with the thick skin. You guys understand? When somebody nod their head so I know you're with me. Okay. And he peels it all the way back and he gets down to it. And everybody's watching him. He's not saying a word. And he breaks it open and the juice spits up again, you know. It's all over his hands. You get what I'm saying? It's kind of dripping. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody say your head yes? Okay. And then he starts peeling piece at a time off eating it. And every now and then you hear him go, mmm. You know, he's letting you know it's good. Eat some more, mmm. When my daughter, I won't tell you which one, but when my daughter was little, every bite she would eat and go, mmm, the whole time. Take another bite, mmm. She did that up. Wait, she's still doing it. No, I'm kidding. She's not doing it now. But he would eat the whole orange. And then when he got done, he said, and then neither one of my daughters is going to talk to me now. He gets done with the orange, And he said this, "Somebody tell me what it tastes like." To which they responded, "How can I tell you what it tastes like? I didn't taste it. You ate it." That's about like trying to explain Jesus. If you haven't tasted it, I just can't explain it. God says, "Listen, don't worry. I want to bless you. I want to rock your socks off. But you got to be obedient. And by the way, just giving your tithe is not enough for the blessings of God. You got to give your tithe. Are you ready? Not only do you give your tithe, but you got to be obedient. You know, you actually got to treat people like Jesus would treat people." Really? I was talking to a guy the other day. I was helping out. And he had hurt himself. He calls me on the phone. It's late at night. And he goes, "Pastor John, I need your help. They don't go to church here." And I said, "Man, I'm on my way across town." "Well, it's just going to take a minute." And so I go over there and I help him out. And it, you know, it's I went out of my way. I'm not telling you what I did. I'm just or to look at me. But what I'm saying is, I go over there and I help him out. And he says, and I asked him, I go, "Man, don't you have any other friends that could have helped you out?" I mean, I'm just not like I didn't want to help you, because I know it sounds rough, doesn't it? I didn't mean it like that. I go, "Don't you have any other friends that can help you out, man? Because I can't, this is the third time in one day that I've been over here. I can't keep running over here like this." And he goes, "Pastor, I'll just be honest with you. I don't like people." And I go, "What makes me so special?" But listen, if you don't like people, it's really going to be hard to share Jesus, isn't it? If you don't like people, it's really going to be difficult. But he says, "I don't like people." We need to have our investment in the right place, and we need to understand that God wants to bless us, but your life has to be right. Listen, you can't be living in adultery. You can't be out doing all the frivolous things in life and over here and then say, "Well, I'll be spiritual over here on Sunday." God says, "You hypocrite! Don't expect nothing from me. You're like a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways." That's what he says in James, just in case you want to go find that. You got to live your life right. God says, "Man, I want to pour out blessing on you, but you got to trust me. You live your life right so that I'm glorified. You trust me with your finances, and I'm going to tell you, your life will absolutely change. If you withhold any of it, you're withholding from God. You're still divided. Your focus is wrong. Don't expect God to bless you." Let's look here and go on. Verse 31. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all, these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." God knows what you need. And he says, "Listen, I want to give it to you." But what does he say here in 33? "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And then he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Get your focus back. Get it on God. If you're focusing on anything else other than God, guess what? That's what you're pursuing. Outlook determines outcome. And you can't tell me that you can be divided. You know, when all the political things were going on, and someone said, "Well, I'm voting for Obama." And I said, "Well, I thought you were a Christian." Apparently, I'm still not over the election. I'm talking about it. But at any rate, I said, "I thought you were a Christian." "Well, my politics have nothing to do with my walk with God." Really? Really? How can you divide that? You vote your heart. Your eye is either black or it's got light. It's the same way in the world, guys. You can't say my materialism has nothing to do with my spirituality, because it's got everything. God says, "Listen, you're going to be divided. It's either God or money. It's God or things. It's God or people. It's God. What are you putting before God? That's dividing you. But guess what? You're crooked-eyed," or whatever they call that. And God's going to lose. Because Satan makes the flesh want to get satisfied so bad, and we live in a day where we're not too disciplined anymore. We want what we want, and so we go after it at any cost, and the world tells you, hey, you're doing right, keep going. And God says, you just sold your soul. For what? Where's your focus, guys? Your outlook will determine your outcome. My pastor used to tell me, thoughts are things. You think about something long enough, you'll do it or you'll have it. Thoughts are things. Your outlook determines your outcome. It's not about your money. It's about honoring God. If you can't honor God without money being involved, it's just how it works. Your relationship is between you and God, and the outcome is between you and God. But understand this. When we mess up, we pay the price. So think about it before you do it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you and I love you. Lord, you are so good. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that John Lamity's here today. What a blessing. Thank you. Lord, thank you that you have given him the strength today. Lord, that he could get out of the house and just come and be a part of his family and worship with us, Lord. Lord, I ask your hand to be on him as well, Lord, even when he leaves here. Lord, I think about all the blessings that you give us. Lord, I just ask today that you have your hand on each and every one here. And Lord, that you would convict the hearts where they need to be convicted, Lord. Lord, it may not be about money, Lord. It just may be about things. It may be about themselves, Lord. So many people are making themselves their own God. Lord, help them with that. Lord, whatever it is, help it to not get in the way of you. Lord, help each and every one of us, Lord, to stay focused on you, that you would be glorified. Lord, may we stop searching and seeking the world for things to satisfy this old flesh. But Lord, to understand that you want to give to us more than anything. Lord, you just want us to be faithful to you. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.